please, will you open them to Luke 15, 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. As we have come to a very special day in the life of our calendar year at Quail Springs Missions Sunday, I want us to focus our attention this morning on Luke 15. I remember a few years ago, the first time I ever saw one. It was a little yellow and black diamond sign that hung in the back glass of a car. It said, "Baby on board." Remember those signs? Led to all kinds of other signs, like ex-boyfriend in trunk, nobody on board, etc. But I remember thinking how special that was, that here is this precious cargo that is encased in this automobile made of glass and plastic and metal, and it's being hurtled down interstates and freeways at breakneck speed, and here is a warning in the back of a car that says, "Baby on board, be careful, be cautious." And then I remember seeing that sign that was just like it, that said simply, "Who cares?" And I thought, how callous and cold that someone would put a sign like that in their car in response to the other sign, "Baby on board," another one put a sign in their car that says, "Who cares?" Through the years, I have asked myself the question, I wonder how many times that I have looked at something that God counted as precious, that God counted as important and a priority to Him, that my heart has had a sign hanging from it that said, "Who cares?" You see, people all over this planet are individuals like you and me that God counts as precious and valuable. And I wonder how many times our attitude about that is, "Who cares?" If there was one thing that Jesus came to demonstrate, it was that God's priority and God's passion was people. He came because of people. People who look different than you and me and who look like you and me. People who speak the same language as you and me and people who speak different languages than you and me. People who live in cultures like you and I live in and people who live in totally different cultures you and I live in. It's about people, and God said about people, "They're precious to me." And I wonder how many times my reaction has been, "Who cares?" Luke 15 is an entire chapter of stories that are as familiar to you as they are to me. In fact, you can tell the story as well as I. The stories were told because of an accusation made about Jesus. He hung out with riffraff and sinners. People who were in eternal danger. People who that unless Jesus saved them, they were going to spend an eternity apart from God. And so Jesus answers that accusation about hanging out with sinners because the Pharisees were standing at the outer circle with signs around their neck that said, "Who cares?" Especially about people like these. Jesus told these stories. A story of a shepherd who lost a sheep. A story of a widow who lost a coin. And a story of a father who lost a son. People, this morning, as we come to Mission Sunday, we come to answer the question, "Who cares?" Because what we do this morning is going to be an answer to God as He asks us, "Who cares? Do you care?" Let's get an idea about how God feels. I want us to make some application from these stories. We're not going to read this chapter because, as I said, we've read them hundreds of times. And so I'm just going to make reference to the stories again and again. If you need to refamiliarize yourself, you read through it as I'm preaching. But I want us to remember some things these stories teach us. Number one, God has suffered significant loss Sometimes when we start talking about lost people, we focus on the people themselves and the fact that they have separated themselves from God. And what we fail to see that the stories emphasize is that the one who has had the significant loss is God. The shepherd who goes after the sheep, the shepherd is representative of God. The widow who lost a coin, she is representative of God. And the father who lost a boy is representative of God. And the stories are to tell us that God has suffered significant loss. The story of the Bible is the story of a God who's lost something so valuable to himself that he goes to every extreme to win them back, including the sending of his own son. Many of you in this room have had significant losses in your life. Most of us have. Some of you have lost a mate. And you know what it's like going to bed at night in a bed that used to be occupied by that partner in life, and that partner's no longer there. And some of us have lost parents. Some of us have lost brothers and sisters. And some of us have even lost children. And if you've ever stood by that grave and said goodbye to someone you love with all of your heart, you know what a significant loss is about. Recently, Marcia and I were kidding with one another, and we're standing in front of the mirror, you know, combing hair and all that kind of stuff. And she said something that reminded me of something my dad had said. And I said, well, you know what my dad would say about that? And I quoted one of his sayings. Many of my dad's sayings were not quotable, but this one was. And so I said, you know what my dad would say that about that? And I quoted it, and we chuckled together. And then as we stood there, the smile vanished from her face. And she got real serious, and she said, I miss your dad. I said, yeah, I know. I miss him too. If you ever lost anyone significant to you, you know that the pangs of your heart say, I wish I had that person back for a while. I wish I could spend more time with him or her. I wish I could say some things to him or her that maybe I failed to say, that given another chance, I'd like to say. I just wish I could be with them again. Listen, people, the story of the Bible is the story of a God who has lost his children and who wants them back with him. Jesus dying on the cross is about saying, I want you so badly to be back with me, I'll even let my son die in your place. God lost something significant when he lost the people of this world, the sin. When we go to Honduras, when we go to Brazil, when we go to Croatia or Bosnia, when we go to Hungary, when we go to Singapore, when we go to Germany, when we go to Russia, when we go to any place on the planet, when we go across the street, we are going to tell a people who've been lost from their God, our God lost something significant. Today is about saying to God, we feel with you in your loss. You know, the second thing this story teaches, not only that God lost something significant, but without God's intervention, they would have remained lost. The shepherd goes after the sheep. Can I tell you something? Just between me and you, sheep are stupid. They will not come home if they've been lost. They cannot find their way home. You know, that makes me feel bad for little Bo Peep. Somebody gave her some bad advice. She's still waiting for them to come wagging their tails behind them. Sheep are not going to come home if they're lost. And the shepherd knows that. And so the shepherd intervenes. The shepherd goes out on a search. And the shepherd searches and searches until he finds the sheep, puts the sheep on his shoulders, and brings it home because the sheep couldn't do so by themselves. And then there's the widow, again, representative of God. She lights the lamp and sweeps the house and tears the place apart to look for a coin that she's lost. because that coin is vital to her survival. Had she not intervened, that coin would have never been found. And then there's the story of the father who searches the horizon until he sees his boy. And that boy has alienated himself helplessly and hopelessly from his family. And unless the father had gone and fallen on his neck and kissed him and received him back into his fellowship and taking him back into the house as a son, that boy would have never been a part of that family again. You see, without his intervention, all these that were lost would have never been found. People, listen. What we're about today is allowing God to intervene through us. Paul Harvey tells some great stories. This is a good story. America's Cup, you know, the sailing races, you know, they're going on. A few years ago, they were racing, doing some preliminary trial runs. They were having the races down in Australia, off the coast of Australia. The Italian Cup team had been outfitted by Gucci. They had Gucci jackets on. They had Gucci belts, Gucci wallets, Gucci shoes. They were stylish. It was a promotional deal by Gucci. Well, one afternoon, they had the afternoon off, and so the Cup team from Italy decided they wanted to rent a Jeep, go out in the outback, and see some of the wildlife they'd heard so much about that was a part of the wildlife in Australia. So they get in this Jeep, and here are the whole bunch of them. They're out driving around, and they haven't seen anything. They've been driving for hours and haven't seen anything. There's Skylarkin saying, "Where are all the koala bears and all the kangaroos?" And they're, of course, saying that in Italian. But where are they? And hadn't seen anything. They're driving along, you know, Skylarkin, and all of a sudden, out from a boulder, right in the road in front of them, a kangaroo jumps out, Jeep, boom, hits that kangaroo, and, you know, it sprawled out in front of the Jeep, and they bail out of the Jeep. "Oh, no, we have killed a kangaroo." And as they stood there watching that dead kangaroo, they thought, you know, this would be a good promotional deal. Let's dress that kangaroo in our Gucci stuff. Take his picture, send it back to Gucci. They'll love it. So, you know, he peels off his coat. This one guy peels off his coat, and they get it on this kangaroo, and they prop this kangaroo up, and, you know, they got their arms around him, and they're hugging on this kangaroo, and this guy's over there about to take his picture and just about ready to take the photograph. The kangaroo revives. The kangaroo wasn't dead, it was just unconscious. And the kangaroo wakes up and he looks around and he takes off into the wild, dressed in a Gucci jacket. I wondered what the other kangaroo said when he got back to the herd. "Man, nice jacket, you know." Funny part of the story was, inside the guy's jacket was his wallet and the keys to the Jeep. You know what, folks? There are a lot of us who think that those who are lost from God are just going to spiritually revive themselves and hop into the kingdom with the keys in their pocket. And I got to tell you something, it doesn't work that way. Unless somebody goes, and unless somebody shares the good news, and unless they confess the name of Jesus Christ and come to faith in Jesus Christ, they are going to be lost. They're not just going to spiritually revive themselves and hop into the kingdom with the keys in their pocket. And unless we go, they're going to die without God and face an eternity apart from Him. You see, God intervened to find that which was lost. Third, not only has God had significant loss and God intervenes to save those who are lost, I want you to notice that in all of these stories, there is something that is spoke of tremendous value and worth. The sheep were like a part of the family to a shepherd. He would know all of his sheep by name. And that afternoon, as he finally figures out that one of those guys is missing, He secures the 99 in the open country and takes off to look for the other one. Why? Because it was of value and worth to his life. He put his own life on the line to save that which had value and worth. The widow, without that coin, she dies. She has not enough to sustain herself. She is after that coin because it has such significant value and worth to her. And the father with his son. One of our volunteers that works here and answers the phone for us an afternoon a week is Lori Thomas. Barry and Lori just have a new baby boy named Caleb. Lori was here this past week answering the phone. Caleb was with her, and Caleb was lying there on that desk where the volunteer sits to answer the phone. Had a real thick pallet under him, and he was face down and sleeping like a baby. I walked by there, and Lori's sitting there at the desk kind of patting him, and I walked by there, and I looked at him. I mean, what is more precious than that? And I said, let me ask you something, Lori. Is Barry proud of this boy? She just started laughing. Well, is every father proud of their child? Absolutely. Can you imagine what it would be like to lose a son, a daughter? This father lost his son, his daughter, something of incredible worth and value to him. He searches the horizon until he sees that boy's figure walking down the road, and he has got one response: to run and fall on his neck and embrace him and welcome him home. It's no wonder he threw the party. It's no wonder he killed the fatted calf and gave him the ring and the shoes and the robe. It's no wonder he called his friends together and said, that which was lost is found, that which was dead is alive again. His boy was home. Jesus says that's the way it is in heaven. Every time a sinner comes home. The Indians of Honduras need to hear the name of Jesus, people, and we can be a part of taking that name to them. The people of Russia need to hear the name of Jesus, and we can take that good news to them. And the people of Hungary and the people of Croatia and the people of Singapore and everywhere around the world need to hear the name of Jesus. We can take the good news to some of them. And they are of absolute, infinite worth to God. Question. Do you care? Are you going to say this morning by your offering, I care. I care. Let's pray together. Father, help us repent of our apathy about the people of the world. Forgive us when we can look into their faces over and over and over again on television, movies, and never see them through your eyes, how much they mean to you. Father, open our eyes this morning and help us understand people need you, all people. And though we can't reach them all, we can reach some. And we pray that by our offering today, we will say to you, we care about those we can reach. Father, help us to reach those in our neighborhoods, across the street, next door. And help us by our offering and by our prayer to take the good news of Jesus to other places and people. Help us to care. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our missions committee and some of our folks that work with media have put together one final reminder about our responsibility for missions. I want you to look at the faces. I want you to hear the words, people need the Lord. And after you view the video, we're going to have the chance to make our declaration to God about whether we care about them or not. And so we'll ask them to turn off the lights, listen carefully, and watch with a heart. Sometimes we forget. And it helps to see the faces and to see the hurting and to see the emptiness in their eyes and to know that they do need the Lord. We can give them food, and that's important. And we can give them clothing, and God asks us to do that. We can give them shelter, and they need it. More than anything in all the world, they need Jesus Christ. They need to know that there is an eternity of heaven awaiting them by a God who loved them enough, thought them significant and valuable enough to seek them. We've talked about it. We've prayed about it. Now it's time to do it. Our ushers, no, they're on the pews, I think. You're going to find on the pew both a pledge card and a brochure. I'd like for you to put one of those pledge cards in your hand for just a minute. I'd like to talk to you about it for just a moment. Our children gave cash. They collected, they saved their money. And as you saw as a part of the video last week, they brought it and they offered it to God. $712.95 those children brought last week. $712.95. That's thousands of pennies and nickels and dimes. And we made the commitment to them. We were going to follow their leadership. As they made a sacrificial offering, so we come today to make that sacrificial offering. Some of you will give by cash. And if this morning you give by cash and you will be giving nothing more to missions the rest of this year, then you don't need one of these pledge cards. But some of us do need the pledge cards because we want to give more than we can give this morning. Maybe you're waiting for a refund on tax. Bless your heart if you're getting a refund. But, you know, maybe that hasn't come in yet. And maybe you want to give systematically over a period of time, over a year. Whatever you're going to give in addition to cash this morning, we want you to put that amount on the pledge card. Don't put the amount of cash you're giving. Only the amount you're pledging to give over the next 12 months, over and above the cash you give today, put that on the pledge card. Okay? Would you do that right now? Having had a chance to pray over it, think on it, consider your part of it, would you do that right now? As you're doing that, I'm going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Our ushers are going to come and receive the offering that you give. By your offering, you say, I give. So cash does not go on this card. Only that which you want to give in addition to cash goes on this card. Okay? Let's pray together before our ushers receive the offering, shall we? Father, thank you that you cared for us. Thank you for the blessings over and over again that you've demonstrated your care and concern for us. Help us to demonstrate our care today. Help us to care for the people you care about. Help us to care about those that we may never meet, may never visit this side of heaven. But Father, we pray your blessings on this offering, and we pray your blessings on everyone who generously gives. We pray that you might use this offering to reach the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Help us to understand that our temporal gift of money might in fact make an eternal difference in the lives of some of those people that we can reach. We pray it in the precious name of the one who gave his all for us, even Jesus. Amen.
Crying, who don't even know. and dying by millions. Brothers and sisters whose hearts are so cold,
whose hearts are so cold.
While Christians are saddened, we're talking about heaven and when we will go. The world and its people, faster and deeper, to a living death below.
Oh, oh, oh.
If we don't believe, then how will they know?
And how will they hear
if we never go? Oh, Lord,
won't you
send us to the world?
To the world.
Oh, Lord, if we don't believe, then how will they see?
And
how will they know
that they can be free?
Oh, Lord, won't you send us to the world? If we are the light of the world and are bright, do we have to not go? No, he's given us power to conquer the hour.
So why don't we go?
So why don't we go? He's called us his soldiers, and he's given us orders to tear down the wall. We'll sing and we'll shout, and we'll carry it out, and offer them to the Lord.
Offer them to the Lord.
If we don't believe, then how will they know?
And
how will they hear if we never go? Oh, Lord, won't you send us to the world?
To the world.
Oh, Lord, if we don't believe, then how will they see?
And
how will they know that they can be free?
Oh, Lord, won't you send us to the world?
Send us to the world.